إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فإني أرحب بكم جميعا في درس الليلة. I welcome all of you. We continue tonight reading from the explanation of the Usul al-Sunnah, the foundation of the Sunnah of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, by our noble Shaykh Al-Walid Al-Doktor Rabi' ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali hafidhahullah ta'ala. The last point, the Shaykh explained the statement of Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah when he says that min أصول السنة ترك الجلوس مع أصحاب الأهواء, that it is from the foundations of the Sunnah that a person does not sit with the people of bid'ah, innovations and desires. And he mentioned the importance of staying away and not sitting with the people of desires. They make you sick. They make your heart sick. And on top of that, you won't benefit anything being around them. وَعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Now the Shaykh is going to talk about منزلت السنة وعلاقتها بالقرآن. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله في أصول السنة, والسنة عندنا آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, والسنة تفسر القرآن, وهي دلائل القرآن, وليس في السنة قياس, ولا تضرب لها الأمثال, ولا تدرك بالعقول ولا الأهواء, إنما هو الاتباع وترك الهوى. إمام أحمد رحمه الله says, and the Sunnah with us are the athar, the narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sunnah explains and clarifies the Qur'an. It is, meaning the Sunnah, it is the guide to the Qur'an. There is no analogical reasoning in the Sunnah, and examples or likenesses are not to be made for it, nor it is grasped and comprehended by the intellects or the desires. Rather, it consists of following and depending upon it and abandoning the hawa, the desire. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله في الشرح يقول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله والسنة عندنا آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the explanation, Shaykh Rabi Habib Ta'ala says that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah says that the Sunnah with us is the آثار, the narrations of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الشيخ ربيع ما هي السنة؟ What is the Sunnah؟ يقول الإمام أحمد هي آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is the آثار of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني أقواله وأفعاله وتقريراته. He says the Sunnah, it means the statements and the actions along with the approvals of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. عندنا كتاب وسنة. He says we have the book of Allah and we have the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have the Book of Allah, he said, and we have the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال إذا ما هي السنة هي آثار الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you are asked what is the sunnah, it says the آثار, renovations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which consists of his statements, his actions, what he said, what he did, and also his approvals. How you understand the taqrirat, the approvals, it means that sometimes things happen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, they bring what happened, those incidents of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if they agreed with the haqq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approve, give his approval. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give his approval to those things. But if they were wrong, they will correct them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will correct them, as we have many narrations in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam correct the people. For instance, just as an example, when a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ma sha'a Allahu wa shi'ta," the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "La, qul ma sha'a Allahu wahda." A man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Whatever Allah will and what you will," he said to him, "No, whatever Allah wills alone." Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to correct things. But there are certain things that were right, that took place in his time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he gave his approval to those things, they become from his sunnah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَالسُنَّةُ هِيَ الَّتِي فَرَضَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى عَلَيْنَا اتِّبَاعُهَا وَالتَّمَسُّكُ بِهَا. Also the sunnah, Allah has made it obligatory upon us to follow the sunnah. Allah made it obligatory upon us to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to hold on for tight. Many ayats, the Shaykh didn't mention them because this was a summarized explanation, the Shaykh hafidhahullah. But just to remind you, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatsoever the Messenger of Allah give you, act upon it. Whatever he forbade you, stay away from. And Allah commands us in many ayats to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aynan. There is a group, they call themselves Qur'aniyun. Okay, they call themselves Al-Qur'aniyun. Who are this group? This group, they say, they follow only the text of the Quran. Don't bring them a hadith. That's it. You bring them a hadith, they say, see, Quran, that's it. Only Quran. Now I ask you a question. Do you think these people follow the Quran? They're not even following the Quran. Do you know how many ayahs command us to follow the Messenger of Allah and that's falsehood. And the ulama, they mentioned these people, they said they want to follow all the Qur'an. If they follow only the Qur'an and don't follow the sunnah, don't study the sunnah, don't act upon it, they will never worship Allah correctly. Where are they going to find the details for salat in Qur'an? Allah commands us, as the Shaykh is going to mention later on. They're not going to pray. They don't pray because they know if they just consist of Quran, they don't know how to pray. How are they going to pray? They're going to pray like the Christian, just sit there and say, okay. They're not. How are they going to know to call the iqamah, the adhan, the ruku', what to say in first rak'ah, sujood, all that stuff, where we find it? In the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're just liars. And they're ignorant and they're misguided, saying that they follow only the Qur'an. قال رحمه الله والسنة تفسر القرآن وهي دلائل القرآن. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى, he says the sunnah explains and clarifies the Qur'an, and it is the guide to the Qur'an, containing evidences and indications as to its meanings and correct interpretations. Okay? قال الشيخ ربيع يبين منزلة السنة وعلاقة القرآن. This statement of Imam Ahmad, Shaykh Rabi'a حفظه الله تعالى, says make clear the great position that the Sunnah have with Quran and the connection that these two have, Sunnah and the Quran. فالسنة تبين القرآن. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله says, the Sunnah explains and clarifies the Quran. The Shaykh, he mentioned an ayah, the first ayah of Surah An-Nahl, ayah 44, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have revealed to you this dhikr, so that you may clear to the people that which it was revealed to them. You know? So that you may clear to the people that which it was revealed to them. So the Prophet ﷺ made clear to the people the Quran, because that's what was revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh Rabi'ah wa ta'ala mentioned another ayah, ayah 59 or 95, I think it's 59, in Surah An-Nisa. Aynam, it's 59. I have a mistake here. A typo, it says 95, but it's 59. The ayah, the famous ayah, وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Not just فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Those who have a mistake in the ayah, you can correct it, inshallah. So in this ayah 59 of Surah An-Nisa, a part of the ayah, because in the beginning of it, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those of you Muslims who are in authority. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ, and if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, the ulama, they says we're human. We differ. Two partners differ. They don't want that. Nobody wants to differ with his wife. Nobody wants to differ with his partner. Because they know different. If he's not dealt with in a proper way, he brings a lot of bad things and evil. But Allah is telling us now, okay, you're human. You gotta differ. When you differ, what we do? You split? We turn enemies to one another? No, we seek the truth. And we find the solution how? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, in anything, in the deen, in business, in transactions, in anything, you differ in anything, so what is the right approach? Refer it to Allah and His Messenger. Refer that different to Allah. The Shaykh is going to explain what he means. And to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you believe in Allah and in the last day. Some people, they say they believe in Allah last day. And when the hukum of Allah, the ruling of Allah, or the ruling of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is presented to them, they're like, look, you got to be another way. A'udhu billah. Got to be another way out of this one? After Allah rules, and they read the ayats, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. And is not befitting for a believing man or believing min amrihim. A believing man or woman, that when Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam decreed upon a matter, that they will have a choice within their matter, but rather they submit, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, rather they submit willingly, full submission to the ruling of Allah and the ruling of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالَ أَرَدُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Refer it to Allah. What does it mean? يقول الشيخ ربيع أي إلى كتاب الله. You refer it to the book of Allah. That's what it means. You go in the book of Allah. Be patient. Don't make no decision based on your what you think is right. And especially if you're angry. Take it easy. Slow down. You don't want to make any decision. You want to make the right decision that will help you in this life and it will help you in the hereafter. So that's an art in itself, how you deal with matters. So it's amazing. You go to the doctor and you're in pain. Right or wrong? You're in pain. I'm sure that many of us, if it's not all of us, been through this at least once in our lives, right? You're in pain and you wish that they just give you any pill, right? You wish that just give me any vaccine. Do you have anything, man? I'm in pain. But they still, you're in pain. But they still take your pulse, huh? Take your temperature, right or wrong? Huh? Take your weight. Man, you're in pain and they're still asking you questions, right? How old are you? And this. Anybody in your family have these signs? Anything? Are you allergic? And you're like, man, I'm in pain. Why are you talking to me? Give me anything. Can they give you anything? Huh? Why are they doing that stuff? Even though you don't want it at that moment. Because you're in so much pain, you just want anything. But they're doing the right thing. They want to give you the right medicine. Likewise, yes, you're in pain. You really want, I don't know, something in you telling you, look, man, just go ahead and do it. And this, but then, you say, look, it's not for me. I got to do the right things. And therefore, you have to calm yourself down. You know, go somewhere else. Get some fresh air. You know, go for a walk. And then when you calm down and start, because when you calm down, now you start seeing clear. When you're angry, it's like fog. When you're driving in a highway, 65 miles an hour, or 75 here in South Carolina and Texas and some states, they have 75. Okay? And you're driving like that, and all of a sudden, it's foggy. You can't even see 10 feet in front of you. What do you do? What do you do? Slow down. Do you have a choice, really? What if you don't slow down? You're taking a risk. You may run into something, or something may run to you. You may get off the path, right or wrong. Likewise, when the people are angry and this and that, they want to do it their way, based on their way, not being patient, they run to a lot of stuff, man. They run to a lot of things that they don't want, and make it worse for them. If we only pay attention to these texts and understand them correctly and apply them in our lives, wallahi, our lives will have a better, you know, outcome, ahsan. Ayna'am, be patient. And we're human. What do you think? People are going to be pleased with you all day? Test, Allah may test you with the closest people to you. They may say something and they may not mean it. Who knows? Who may mean it? But then why are you going to behave? Look, you turn it to Allah, meaning to the Book of Allah. And how you turn it to the Messenger of Allah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَدٌ إِلَيْهِ فِي حَيَاتِهِ وَإِلَى سُنَّتِهِ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. How you refer and turn these matters to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When he was alive, the companions, they turn these matters to him. You see? They go to him in person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But after his death, what they do? Go to his grave? No, that's the Sufis do that, the ignorant Sufis. They waste their money and energy to go to the grave and, oh, Messenger of Allah, me and this man, we disagree. And and they claim that they get an answer. Al-Iyadu Billah. Now, how we turn it to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his death, to his sunnah, to that which he has left for us. فَالسُنَّةَ مَرَدُّ النَّاسِ وَمَرْجِعُهُمْ وَالْقُرْآنَ عَلَى حَدٍّ سَوَى. So you turn it to the Quran and the sunnah on the same level. Okay? On the same level. People turn these matters to these both sources, Quran and the sunnah. فَهِيَ فِي الْإِحْتِجَاجِ أي السنة في أبواب العقائد والأحكام والحلال والحرام وسائر شؤون الدين هي مرجع كالقرآن. The sunnah, when it comes to using it, is on the same level of Quran. In rulings, in aqidah, if you want to use a text from the sunnah, they have to be sound, hasan or sahih, not the weak narrations and fabricated narrations, because they are not from the statements of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, in matters of belief, or with chapters of belief, rulings and regulations, the halal, the haram, and all of the rest fields of the aspects of the religion, yes, the sunnah is a source, just as the Quran is as well. ولهذا كان السلف إذا ورد على أحدهم سؤال في عقيدة أو غيرها يجيب بما يسبق إلى ذهنه من نص قرآني أو نص نبوي. لا تفرقة في ذلك. The Sheikh says that's why the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, when anyone asks them a question, whether in matters of aqidah, belief, the creed or other than it, they answer and use as a proof whatever comes to them at that moment, whether a text from the Quran or from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Yeah. They give the answer based on a text. Sometimes it's an ayah, sometimes it's a hadith. Okay? They don't distinguish between the two. Some people, you give them a hadith, they say, no, give me an ayah. Are you rejecting the hadith? That's a big problem. You can't reject the hadith. قال وسيأتي مثال ذلك من موقف عمر وموقف أبي بكر وموقف ابن عمر وغيرهم الصحابة. The Sheikh says later on some examples from the stance taken by Umar رضي الله عنه and Abu Bakr and Ibn Umar and other than them from the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله والسنة يعني دلائل القرآن. That the Sunnah دلائل القرآن. It guides to the Quran. Okay? What does it mean? The Shaykh Rabi'a Hafiz Ta'ala says, لِأَنَّ السُّنَّةُ تُبَيِّنْ مُجْمَلَهُ وَتُفَصِّلَ الْمُجْمَلُ وَتُوَضِّحَ الْمُبْهَمُ وَتُقَيِّدَ الْمُطْلَقُ وَتُخَصِّصَ الْعَامُ وَتُبَيِّنْ لَنَا الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. This is some terminologies over here, okay? That we're just going to translate them, but mashallah, may Allah help us for this to do a better translation. He says the sunnah, for example, تبين مجمل وتفصل المجمل. You find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command us with something, but in a general way. Where's the details? Where do you find the details of that? In the sunnah. The details. The Shaykh he mentioned, he said Allah command us to pray. That's a general command. But what is this detail that where all the tashahud sitting with it, raising your hand, what to say in ruku, sujood, huh? It's in the sunnah. To what different mubham? Certain things are mentioned, but they need some clarification. They need some clarification. Where you find this clarification that make it easy for you to understand and to apply? In the sunnah. To qayyid al-mutlaq wa to khassis al-am. Naam, you find the general rulings, but the sunnah restricted to this matter or to the other. Not, you cannot apply on anything that comes your way. And that's what makes the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah, the ulama, and those who they just claim to be ulama. They don't understand these principles. They just take a text that is general and use it on everybody. In matter of fact, in the sunnah, that ayah actually doesn't apply on anybody. It's restricted to certain people. You see? Now they use it on everybody. Okay? وَتُبَيِّنُ لَنَا الصَّلَاةِ أَوْقَاتَهَا أَعْدَادَهَا تَفَاصِيلَهَا مَاذَا نَقْرَأُ فِيهَا مَاذَا نَقُولُ فِي الرُّكُوعِ مَاذَا نَقُولُ فِي السُّجُودِ كُلِّ هَذَا مِنَ السُّنَّةِ. He says, نعم, the sunnah, for example, when it comes to the salat, the prayer, it's in the sunnah when we know the times for the prayers. The time of the prayers in details are in the sunnah. How many rak'at you pray? Where? In the sunnah. The details, what you say in every rak'ah and what you do on every move, Where? In the Sunnah. What do you recite? In the Sunnah. Even in the Sunnah you will find what the Prophet used to recite from a Salat to another Salat. In some Salat the Prophet used to recite long, like in Fajr, usually. But sometimes he recites short surahs in Fajr itself. In Maghrib, usually is short surahs. But sometimes the Prophet, sometimes, once a while, he recites long recitation in Maghrib itself. Those who don't know, they're like, man, this Imam gotta be get to go. Why he get to go? Because he wants to, he applying the Sunnah sometimes. You see? Likewise, what you say in Rukur, what you say in Sujood, all of these details, the Shaykh says, are found in the Sunnah. فَاللَّهُ يَقُولُ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَيُكْثِرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Says many ayats, Allah says in the Quran, establish the prayer and give the zakat. Many ayats. But what is the details for salat and zakat? What to give in zakat, and how much, and who give the zakat, who received the zakat, when to give the zakat. Where all this tafasil? In the Sunnah. As-sunnah bayyana dhalika wa fassalathu. Idan fahiyya dalail wa bayyinat wa tawdihat li mujmalat al-Qur'an wa takhsisat li'ummatih wa taqidat li mutlaqatihi. Fahiyya tufassir al-Qur'an kama qala hadha al-imam. Wa hiya dalail al-Qur'ani aydan kama qala rahimahullah. Idan all these details you find them in as-sunnah. The sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He clarified the Qur'an. Make things clear, matters clear. It is a guide to the Quran. It is a guide. You cannot understand the Quran without the Sunnah. It's a guide that contains evidences and indication as to its meaning and correct interpretation. How are you going to understand? That's why those people who are weak in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and they go to the ayats and start explaining them, and Allah al-Musta'an. Look at the Khawarij. They didn't want to follow the way of the Salaf, because the Salaf, they follow the Athar. They follow the narrations. They follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, Qadariya, Murji'a, name it. Sufiya. They may bring you an ayah, but then they explain it according to their weak understanding. They have no clue to the true meaning of those ayahs. They didn't study them from the Salaf, upon the way of the Salaf. And you find the laymen, they're like, how are we going to reject this Imam statement? He's using 10 ayats. Well, he can use 10,000 if there is. Okay? He can use all the ayats in the Quran and Hadith. But what is the understanding? He has to be able to understand the texts. Okay? So that's why some laymen, they just said, like, oh, but how you say we cannot follow him? He mentioned many ayats. Okay, well, did he give you the correct understanding of this ayat, or he give you his understanding? Okay? So the Sunnah, that's why you find the Imam Ahmad, when he was asked about this Firqa Najiyah, this saved sect, and who are they? He says, if they are not the people of Hadith, I don't know who they are. If they are the people of Hadith, those who study the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and knows it, I don't know. Because without the Sunnah, you're lost. Okay, Allah says, pay zakat. How you mean? How much you pay? Oh, you just take whatever. Oh, this may be enough. Okay, got it. Look at the Sufis, Murji'a. Okay, how you pray? Anything. Just pray, akhi, whatever. It's not about how you do it. It's just as long as you pray. That's it. How you make wudu? Yeah, akhi, just use a little bit of water and go, Bismillah, Bismillah, Tafaddal, Tafaddal. No, what I do? Akhi, don't ask many questions. Just you intending to make wudu is enough. Man, see, that's what they tell the people. Alright, we're going to make Hajj, Alhamdulillah, we got the tickets, everything. Okay, how are we going to make Hajj? Yeah, akhi, Allah will put something in your heart. Just go there. Once you make it, put your foot on the soil of Saudi in Mecca, you will see. Allah is going to put something in your heart, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. instead to tell them, look, the Prophet ﷺ said, take from me, learn from me, the salat, the hajj, and everything. Did the Prophet ﷺ say to the companions, okay, just go, once you make it to the Kaaba, Allah is going to put in your hearts this knowledge of hajj. Did he? No. Prophet ﷺ, he was making with hajj, and reminding them, لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take from me how you perform hajj. Pay attention to what I'm saying. And he was telling them, I may not be alive. I may not be alive next year to make hajj again. Pay attention to this one. And فعلاً, Prophet ﷺ, he died before the next hajj. And he was putting an emphasis, learn from me. And what the Prophet ﷺ was doing, that's the sunnah. He wasn't just reciting some ayahs. Prophet ﷺ, he was explaining to them how to make tawaf, what to say, what not to say, what to touch, what not to touch, what to kiss, what not, and this, where you go in the time, in the places. You don't just like go on the 8th of the Hijjah, slaughter the animal, and go to Arafat. No, can't do that. There is a time for each move you do. You see? You can't make tawaf al-wada' when the people in Arafat say, oh, listen, I'm just going to go do it now, you're nobody there. No, there is a time for everything. And that time and these details, where we find them? In the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قياس. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى says, وليس في السنة قياس. There is no analogical reasoning. Analogical reasoning in the sunnah. The Shaykh says, ليس في دين الله قياس. There is no analogical reasoning in the deen of Allah, meaning that you apply this qiyas and that's it upon every matter. Sheikh is going to explain that. قال إذا جاء النص فلا قياس لا يعارض بعقل ولا بقياس ولا برأي ولا بشيء ما يسعون إلا التسليم. He says, remember, this is the deen of Allah. Okay? If we have a text, whether from the Quran or the Sunnah, there is no qiyas, no analogical reasoning. Okay? You don't do that. The text is not to be opposed or rejected because of this qiyas or because of the opinion of this man or this or anything else. And it's amazing, subhanAllah. You see those who are muta'assibun, they go to extreme to this madhahib, especially the two madhabs, madhab Maliki and Hanafi. You find them, those who go extreme, some of them, Allah al-Musta'an, you give them a clear text from the Sunnah, and they look at you and give you fake smiles. That's not my madhab. The Sunnah is not your madhab. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. They says, oh yeah, that Sunnah, hadith. Where? You say in Bukhari, some even they go too far. We see them in Hajj. And we talk to them in Hajj, what you're doing is, we'll be nice to them. We don't start with, what you're doing is wrong, is bid'ah. No. We just tell them, the sunnah is this way. Some, yes, some people are good in them, alhamdulillah. They're like, oh, subhanAllah, I don't know, man. You know us. We just come here, man. We come from our countries. Nobody teach us, Allah al-Musta'an, but please, some even they beg, wallah, can you make hajj with us? Okay, can you stay with us? And who says, no, we have our group and we have our arrangements. But look, just inshallah, the same way we are talking about this, ask before you do anything. Alhamdulillah, there is books, the Saudi government, Jazamullah Khairan, they translate those books on hajj, especially the book of Sheikh bin Baz, according to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They translate it to so many, I don't know, 100+ languages. You speak Spanish, it is in Spanish. Urdu, it's in Urdu. Somali, yes. Tigrinya, yes. Aromu, Amharic, Yorba, Madingu, Waluf, Fulani, Surakoli, Serbian, Bosnian, Swahili, yes. Any language you want, Swedish, German, Dutch, Italian, Portuguese, Russian, Chinese, Korean, Japanese. Ya akhi, subhanallah. Mandarin, Cantonese, whatever. Okay? And then, they have them. How you know? Those who made Hajj, you know what I'm talking about. When you, especially if you're coming from Medina, and you'll be going on that bus, going to Mecca, and you get close to Mecca, if you remember, and the bus stopped in this place, and this young man, they come and ask, where are they from? What language? Why? What language they speak to get the books? You say America, they give English. You see, say, these people came from Spain, give them books. They have boxes, akhi, right there, loaded of these books they give away. Okay, they say they're from Bangladesh, they give them their Bengali. They're from Pakistan, Urdu, India, Indian language, they have them. From Russia, Russian Muslims, they have books from Russia, Russian language. I know. From Germany, mashallah. From Turkey, they got Turkish. China, they have Chinese books, huh? Not food. Some brother, they were like, Chinese books. Alright, and Hajj, alhamdulillah. As for Chinese food, halal, yes. They have it in Medina and Mecca, they have restaurants too, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. But now you'll find certain people, yes, they accept the haq. Other people, you tell them the sunnah. You didn't come to them, you came nice. You don't go, akhi, mubtadi'. Nah. Nothing to do with the right way. Alhamdulillah, salam, jazakallah khair. Min ayna ant? You gotta establish a contact first. Where are you from? Sometimes, but first, if you find people that speak your language, because a lot of times it happens that you go to someone, you want to talk to them, man, they talk to you, you don't know anything. They speak another language. You say, English? No, no, no. Arabic? No, that's it. So you don't know what language they speak. But others, because we see them, for example, they look like Indians or Pakistanis or Somalians, Africans, but then they came from Britain, you know they speak English, so you talk to them in English. So you told them the sunnah is to do with this way, the Prophet ﷺ said this, mashallah. Some, yes, they say, Jazakallah khair, wallah, we don't know, man, subhanAllah, we just came here, but other they're like, no. Then they look at you, Hanafi? You're like, ya akhi, sunnah, Hanafi. No, Hanafi. Maliki. Ya akhi, Hanafi, sunnah. I tell you the Prophet ﷺ said. No, Hanafi. Ya akhi, Abu Hanifa says, إِذَا صَحَّ الْحَدِيثُ كَهُ مَذْهَبِ. If the hadith is sound, that's my madhab. No, said. He didn't say that. Like, what do you mean? You don't even know what your imam said? And now you follow him, you don't even know what he was upon. And some of them, they even get more than that. They're like, where hadith, where? He says, Bukhari. Bukhari. Bukhari was a man. Alhamdulillah. They tell you, no, we don't take a hadith. What? Hadith was gathered by men. And you tell them, you know who gathered the hadith? Sahaba. And then they're like, Assalamu alaikum. That's it. When you get them in the corner, they don't want to listen to the haq. They leave. Yeah, subhanAllah. But alhamdulillah, some of them, you, mashallah, you talk to them, they understand. You tell them, look, alhamdulillah, we benefit from this madahib as long as they are upon the haq. That's why Sheikh Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, Dr. Sulaiman al-Ruhayli, hafizahullah, he says, Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they are the only one that benefit from all of the madahib. These four madahib. As long as this four madahib agrees with the haq. If the haq is with Abu Hanifa, we take it. We don't say how we Hanbali is, how can we take from Abu Hanifa? We're not taking the statements of Abu Hanifa. His statements agreed with the haq. With the truth, we take it. We take from the statements of Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad, no problem. Okay? But the mutaassiba, those fanatics and ignorance, Subhanallah, they just hold on to that instead to be holding to what? To the truth, to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you ask them, we ask them, we tell them, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he command us to follow Abu Hanifa and Malik al-Shafi'i and Ahmad, who command us to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah? Which one? You see? The sunnah. Okay, if I'm telling you the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you tell me, oh, Malik. And even they lie on Malik. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, he never called to bid'ah and innovations. Never. They are upon innovations, these people. Some of it is shirk. And they like, oh, Hanafi. Is Abu Hanifa called to shirk? Oh, Malik. Imam Malik called to bid'ah. Imam Malik didn't call. He was hard on bid'ah. He commanded the man to be kicked out of the masjid because he asked a question that he has no business to ask. You think this imam was going to be there? But this is the jahl, ignorance. So this is how you talk to the people. Say them, look, man, look, this is the deen of Allah. Did Allah reveal the Quran to Abu Hanifa or to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? To Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he command us? What do you see in the Quran? Ati'u al-Rasul or ati'u Abu Hanifa? Obey the Messenger of Allah or obey Shafi'i and Malik and Abu Hanifa? Who? Obey the Messenger of Allah. And still, yes, we are to follow our noble scholars and to respect them as long as they follow the truth themselves and the Sunnah. But see, many of that falsehood, you find the ignorant people they are upon and they attribute it to these imams. And these imams are free from it. Yes, in matters of fiqh, you will find that this imam, they differ. Abu Hanifa differ, he said something, Malik said something, Ahmed said something, Shafi'i said something. The ulama, like Shaykh al-Albani, Shaykh bin Baz al-Taymin, and before them, Shaykh al-Imam al-Shawkani, before them, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and before them, Ibn Khuzaymah, and many others, what they do? They look. Abu Hanifa said this, or he's right. Why he's right? Because he's Abu Hanifa? No, because he has the dalil with him. In this matter, him and Ahmad, they were right. In another matter, they find, no, Abu Hanifa was wrong. And the three others, they were right. That means Abu Hanifa, he's not a Muslim anymore or something? But that's how it is. They find Ahmad to be wrong in this matter. Why? Because he's from Iraq? That doesn't matter. Because they find the text. But Imam Ahmed at that time, or Imam Malik, or al-Shafi'i, at that time, mashallah, they ulama, they great imams. They use the knowledge that Allah has given them in ijtihad. But if somebody come after them and find the text, what we say? Keep that text down, no man. Keep that text down, man. Don't mention the text. No, because we Hanafi, akhi. Don't bring that text. No, you don't bring the haqq. And that's what this imam, they say. They says, if the haqq, you know, we want the people to follow the haqq, not to follow our statements. Okay? So, لا يسعون إلا التسليم. The only thing that we do when we have a text, okay, we have the sunnah, the text is sound, the Muslim who wants to be upon the haqq, he has no other choice except to comply with the text. Comply and act upon it. And the Shaykh, he mentioned the ayah 65 in Surah An-Nisa. قال الله تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. But now by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, meaning the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, judge in all disputes between them. No. They have no faith. Until they make you, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no resistance. Not only to turn the affairs and then you do whatever you want to do with it. No, and they find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and accept them with full submission. Now you find people take their affairs to the democracy, to the kuffar. Okay? Hey, let's take a matter to the courts, kafir courts. And worse than that, whatever the kafir judge based on their laws, and then you find Muslim, he know he has no rights for that, and they still take it. How the judge gave it to me. Yeah, subhanAllah, and you're a Muslim. And of course, we want to mention with this here, keep in mind that the ulama, they told us. They told us, if you live in a land when there is no Muslim judges and courts, and you try your best to mandate, to bring reconciliation or to take your affairs to the book and the sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but those people, they don't want to, and then therefore they've taken your right, and there is no other way except to take them to the kafir court, yes you can at that moment. But some people, actually, they take your property, they abuse your wealth, and they lie. You tell them, let's come to the book of Allah and the sunnah, let's go to the imam, inshallah, we explain to him our differences, and let's go to, sometimes a sister and a brother, they divorce and they have children right now. Some of them, they have properties between the two of them. And some of them, they just want to take everything. It's like a pie or something. They want to take everything and then they neglect the other people's rights. And you tell them, come to the imam, inshallah, we explain these matters. If he knows, alhamdulillah, if he don't, surely he will take this matter to one of the scholars. Since we don't have judges in here. That's what happened. They come, then the answer comes based on that question that they both agree on, but then because it doesn't come in the favor of one of them, they reject it. They reject it. Now that person, what are you going to do? The ulama, they says yes. In that case, if these people do not comply with the decision of Allah and the ruling of that is in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, yes, you can take them to the court. And you can take only what is pleasing to Allah. You don't just take whatever the judge gave you, no. You don't transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله فبعض الناس يغلو في القياس إلى درجة أنه يرد به النصوص سبحان الله ويقول هذا النص مخالف للأصول يعني مخالف للقياس فغله في القياس. الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله he says some people they go to extreme in using the قياس. The قياس is okay. Now if there is no text, the ulama they use this analogical reasoning because of this something similar took place in the time of the Prophet. Okay, anybody has any text from Quran, from Sunnah? Nothing. Okay, they can use that similar situation that happened and apply it on this one. But he said, now the Sheikh, he said, some people go to extreme, which is not a good thing. In using this analogical reasoning, in a way that they even use it to reject the texts. People bring them texts from Quran and Sunnah, sound Sunnah. They like what? Well, this text that you brought, Bukhari and Muslim, by the way, go against our principles. That's what they say. What is their principles? It's the Arab. The Qiyas. And look at the principles we're studying here. That you have to refer your marriage to what? Quran and the Sunnah. Them now, them they say that this text that we are commanded to take our affairs to, the Quran and Sunnah, they say, no, that text you brought opposes their principles. What are the principles? Subhanallah. And that's what Ahlul Bidah, if you understand it, sometimes you want to understand, subhanallah, an ayah and hadith is clear to a layman. They are clear to someone who don't even know Arabic. Don't know. He's not an Arab and don't know Arabic. And you don't have to be Arab to know Arabic, by the way, right? You know that. The main Sheikh Sibawi of the Arabic, he was an Arab. Alright? If Sheikh Al-Albani was an Arab, nor Bukhari or Muslim or many of them, Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Ibn Khuzayma and them, okay? But now you find some people, Allah guide them and give them tawfiq. And they apply the deen of Allah. Others, they were born Arab. Some of them right there in the land of Tawheed. And they oppose the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. They said because it doesn't agree
with the principles that they put forth.
Ya subhanallah. Nas'al Allah as-salamu al-afiyah. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله فهؤلاء قالوا في القياس. These people, they went to extreme in using the qiyas. They're not using it properly in its proper place. قال فالإمام أحمد يشير إلى الرد على هؤلاء وإلا فقد يوجد قياس أولى ولكنه كما يقال كالميت يلجأ إليه في حال الضرورة في حال إذا لم يكن هناك نص. أنا إذا كان في نص لا في اجتهاد. Shaykh Rabih says, so this Imam, this great Imam, Imam Ahmad rahimahu ta'ala, he's, by saying this, there is no analogical reasoning in the Sunnah, he's refuting these people who oppose the clear texts. And they say that this text opposed their principle. What's their principle? Qiyas. He said, keep in mind, yes, you can use this Qiyas. But he says, as they say, it's like dead bodies, dead animals, for example. When you eat a dead animal, huh? When you have no choice, you have no other alternative, and you're about to die. Not just you get up in the morning and you the store is around the corner, and you're like, oh, let me eat that cat. No, not like that. It's not like that because you've been lazy, you don't want to make a trip, you don't want to cook. No, you don't eat something dead like that. This is somewhere when you're afraid for yourself. If you don't eat that dead animal, you die. Huh? Now you eat, and how much you eat? Just enough. You don't ask for no barbecue sauce or none of that. You just eat a little bit to support yourself. That's it. Don't make it a habit. No. Same thing the Shaykh says. Yes, the qiyas is to be used if it's needed in extreme necessity. So therefore, it cannot be used by ignorant people. They don't know the ayat and the hadith. They use some qiyas. You don't know. You don't use the qiyas. No, the qiyas is the ulama. The ulama, mashallah, they looked for a hadith, for an ayah they couldn't find, according to their knowledge, and they're knowledgeable because they qualify. Somebody who's not qualified, he didn't study nothing, and says, I don't think there is any ayah. He don't know anything. Somebody don't know nothing, they didn't even know a hadith. Tell him, how many hadith you memorize? Not even 10. And then he's like, you know this matter? I don't know if any hadith. Well, you don't know anything. You know one hadith and you're going to say the statement, I don't know if any hadith that applies on this. Now you got a lot to learn. This is for the ulama. Great scholars. Actually, we're talking about Imam Ahmed. Actually, we're going to tell you, the Shaykh is going to mention actually the position of Imam Ahmed. Imam Ahmed don't like Qiyas, as Shaykh Rabi'i is going to mention. But some ulama, they use it because they have to bring a fatwa rulings to the people. They need it, but they couldn't find a text. If there is a text, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, they do not go against the text for qiyas. قال إن شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله يذكر في كتيب الله سماه معارج الوصول إلى بيان أن أصول الدين وفروعه قد بينها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rather, he said, شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, he mentioned in a small book of his, and he named it معارج الوصول إلى بيان أن أصول الدين وفروعه قد بينها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning, the thing that will help you to understand that all matters in this deen has been made clear by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The principles and the branches. The foundation and the branches of this deen. Anything, small or big, is being made clear by the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And what is the problem? If it's everything is made clear, here is the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh al-Islam, he says, يقول بالاستقراء ما من إجماع إلا وجدنا له نصا. He says, بالاستقراء, what mean استقراء? By following the text of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Not one page, open one page, read it, say, I told you, there is no dalil in the Quran in that page. And you cannot even say there is no dalil in that page if you are not from the people of knowledge. I know. Wallahi, sometimes it's amazing. You find the ulama like Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, like Ibn al-Qayyim. They be dealing with some matters. And when they bring the proofs, the ulama, they say, when we read that book the first time, they're like, wait a minute, how this ayah apply on this matter? And then when they read after that, the explanation of Ibn al-Qayyim, what the connection of this ayah to what? To this matter, you'll be amazed. لَكِنْ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That's the bounty of Allah, He gave it to whom He wills. I give you an example with us. If you remember, in Kitab al-Tawheed, the book we study in after Fajr, alhamdulillah, on Saturdays, right? What is the thing that the Shaykh he mentioned when he bring an ayah or a hadith? What he does? Or actually when he bring a chapter of Kitab al-Tawheed, what he brings? No, that's the last thing, benefits. The first thing. مناسبة الباب ومناسبة الآية لكتاب التوحيد. First he bring you what is the relevance of this chapter to كتاب التوحيد. Sometimes some chapters you read the chapter and you're like, what this has to do with التوحيد? Right or wrong? أنواع raining and meteorology and the weather, and you're like, what does this have to do with Tawheed? Stars and rains, that's in this chapter in there, right? You're like, what does this have to do with Tawheed? First of all, you're like, well, what this chapter? Why this chapter isn't Kitab Tawheed? Then, some ayats, you're like, there's no word of Tawheed mentioned in it. But the Shaykh, he explained to you why this ayah has a strong connection with the topic itself. And that's because of the knowledge that Allah has given them and the understanding. Okay, I know. So he says when we follow the text in the Quran and the Sunnah, we will find that whenever the ulama, they agree on a matter, except that there is text for it. If they agree on it, there is a text from Quran or Sunnah or both. كذلك ما قاس الطائفة قياسا إلا وجد نص في معنى ذلك القياس. So likewise, when a people they use analogical reasoning, there is a text for it. If that قياس agrees with the حق, then because there is a text for it. Okay? Not because then they come up with something. No, this deen is complete. It's complete. Nobody can come with something new. The Shaykh Ibn Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, though even those qiyas that were right, later on, you will find that there is a text. Just those people who use qiyas in first, they didn't know the text. But the text existed. The text, it was there. And then he says, لكن يتفاوت الناس في استيعاب النصوص أو مقاربة استيعابها. Allahu Akbar. What's the difference? The comprehension of the texts and the knowledge of the texts. Everybody knows the Sunnah? No. They know a lot of it, but they didn't know something. Not all the people comprehend and know the entire texts. People, they differ in the knowledge of the texts. That's why you find in the biography of the great Imam of Hadith, some of them memorized 200,000 Hadith, right or wrong? And you're like, 200,000 Hadith? Yeah, subhanAllah. Some of them memorized 1,000,000 Hadith. Some memorized 600,000 Hadith. More and less. Okay? See, they differ. And the understanding of those texts is different again. They're not on the same level. And that's the bounty of Allah, He gave it to whom He wills. قال وقليل هم الذين استوعبوا النصوص مثل الإمام أحمد رحمه الله أو قارب استيعابها. He said that there are only few from the Imams who really understood the text or memorized them or almost all of them like Imam Ahmad رحمه الله. فلهذا تجد عند كثير من العلماء قياسات صحيحة هداهم الله إلى القياس الصحيح، ولكن لو توسع في دراسة السنة لوجد أن هناك نصا من الشارع. الله أكبر. So that's for this reason, because of this bounty and the blessing that Allah has given to some of the people of knowledge, okay, this tawfiq, you will find that many of the scholars, their analogical reasoning, they were right actually. When they used that analogical, the qiyas, actually they were right. Allah guided them to that, to the truth, through the qiyas. He says, but if that alim expands a little bit more in his researches, he will find in the sunnah, if he studied the sunnah, he will find that there is a text from the legislation that supports that. You see? قال لأن الرسول بين الأصول والفروع بحيث لم يترك شيئا. He says, because the Prophet ﷺ has made clear to us everything. Al-usul, the fundamental principles, and other than them. The Prophet ﷺ did not leave anything that is not made clear to us. But what is the difference? في أفهام الناس. What makes a difference? The understanding of the deen. That's why we turn to the ulama. If we ask now one question, you may find some of us know the answer, and many of us have no clue what it is. Okay, well, what happened? Those who know the answer, they have two heads? They have two brains, huh? No, same. Two, one brain, they human being, okay. Same, two eyes, two ears, one heart. It's not like this one has six hearts. No. But what is the understanding of the text? This person, mashallah, been studying, putting some time. The same thing, ya akhwanin. He's a good mechanic. You are not. I am not. Why? No, he's been. That's what he do for living. We think about mechanic only when we want to fix our car. Now, when we never think about the mechanic, this word doesn't even, we don't even know if it exists. Once your car give you trouble, what the first thing comes to your mind? I gotta go to the mechanic. But that's man, that's his life. Not only he put 18 hours, but in his mind, transmissions, motors, orders, this, that's, same thing, doctor. We have no clue. Even the medicine that the doctor gave us, we just say Bismillah and we take it. Right or wrong. But the doctor, man, he knows a lot of things. Just an example. Some of us can't even put a light bulb. They're afraid of a light bulb. Change the light bulb. That's not my specialty. You have to be specialized. I have no degree in that, in electricity. We say branch, rewire the whole house. Just change the light bulb, man. No, I ain't study electricity. You see? What about you bring a man, he knows. SubhanAllah, sometimes he opens something, and I give you an example. The radio cassette player in your car. Have you ever looked at the wires in it? How many wires? Two or three? Huh? Some of them come with a lot of wires. Four yellows, five purple, six red, I don't know what. And you look, I just look at those, I'm like, man, I can't do this. But then the mechanic, he just came, he's talking on the phone, yeah, just doing like this. Hey, are you sure? I got you. Like, don't blow this, man, you're reliable now. So I got you, brother. Because why? He's been doing it for how many years? Huh? Many years. Yeah, subhanAllah. Likewise, you gotta learn this deen of Allah. Yeah, you can hear. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Hey, don't look at a person and say, when alhamdulillah, he's speaking Arabic. Yeah, some people, man, they were born not an Arab country, non-Arab. They were born in America, and they're good in Arabic. They memorize Quran. They're good, mashallah. Why? Where'd that come from? Huh? It's like a pill that is somewhere. No, man, they put a lot of, if you see them, they will put in time. While others still put in time somewhere else, but they will put in time in this, in that. What it takes to try.
You gotta try. Even in a ball, basketball, some people you tell them, shoot it. It didn't go, right? Don't even hit the rim. Sometimes they even hit the, what do you call it? The board. Didn't even make it. But then here is another person actually farther away from him making three-pointers, like 10 of them in a row. How? Yeah, because he's black, I'm white. Well, he's white, I'm black. Has nothing to do with that. Has to do with what? Practice. Practice make what? Better. Yeah, better. I'm not talking about perfect, man. Nobody's perfect. Make better. Talking about perfect. Don't listen to those guys. Can't be perfect. Oh, they can make better. Make you better, inshallah. You're not going to be perfect. So you look at that person. If you ask him, that person is putting like 4, 5, 6 hours a day doing nothing but shooting. How many shots he does a day? That's why he gets to that level. Consistency. Likewise. You want to learn Arabic, how to read the Quran? Of course it's going to be hard the first time you open. Even the bat you don't know. I can never do that. You give up, you will never do it. You're right with that statement. You're never going to do it. Some people do that. Some people is like, yeah, they put it. Then they go, hold on. They try. Imam al-Bukhari, Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, Sheikh Abdullah al-Bukhari, he tells a story of Imam al-Baghdadi. He's a great imam. But he says in the beginning of his studies, he went to study hadith. He said he will sit there and he won't understand anything. He can retain anything. And he will come the next day, the next month, for a long time. He don't retain anything. And his people that came after him, they retain in hadith. I'm talking about hadith. He gave up. He's like, man, I will never learn this. But he was going home. He passed, Allah wants to give him an example, show him an example. Okay? He passed by this water dripping. Okay? On a rock. On this rock, okay? And the rock has a hole in it. From what? From the water. Okay, go do this experiment in your house. Take a rock and pour some water on it for 3 minutes. You see hole? Huh? 3 days? 3 months? Where did this hole come from? You know? Time and consistency. And then he sat there and said, SubhanAllah, my heart is not as solid, as hard as this rock. And knowledge is heavier than the word. So all I have to do is to give it some time. And he went back. And what happened now? Now we mention him. Say, Imam Fulan. If he gave up, nothing. If you give up, you're not going to achieve anything. If you become hard, choose a better way. Turn to Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy for you. And inshallah ta'ala. We continue tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.